have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hey everyone, this is Shay Samuels from the Beyond the Fence family on Beyond the Radio. We want to send a great big shout out to our sister Kimmy Kim and the whole Elations family. We also want to say have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
As we celebrate Christmas all over the world, we've come with a simple reminder. Don't forget Jesus, the Savior of the world. Don't forget, He is the reason for it all. Let's sing it, friends.
Christmas without Jesus. you must be listening at the voice with your host, Apostle Vincent Harris. Well, bless you tonight, all of you listening at us tonight. We welcome you to the voice, and we're so grateful tonight. As the song says, he's the reason for the season. Talking about Jesus Christ, we're not talking about your boo. We're not talking about your husband, your wife. But Jesus is the reason for the season. And we celebrate him not just all month long, but all year long, but we praise him and celebrate him in this season because he came to take away the sins of the world. Oh, my God, if I can get another hand clap for that. He came to take away the sins of the world. My God, what an awesome man. What an awesome man he was and is. Amen. Because I said was, because he's no longer a man. He is God. Amen. And he is spirit in our lives. And so before we go much further, amen, let me check who is with us tonight. And how are we going to have this discussion and with who? Well, one lady is here because she's keeping it hot even from the beginning. She's on fire tonight. Amen. I'm so glad for our producer, that sweet woman from St. Louis. Amen. Kimmy Kim. Come on, say hi.
How you doing, Apostle Smith? This is the day that the Lord has made, and Jesus is the reason for the season. Without him, I don't know where I would be because he is so amazing. He walks with me, and he talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. He is so good. Amen.
But we don't want to think about where we would be because that would be a very, very sad story. But we are so glad, so glad. Amen for you tonight. Amen. I want to travel down the road, and I want to know, is the Apostle Felicia Flight with us tonight? Amen. In that College Park, amen, town of Georgia. Is she with us tonight? I guess she'll be coming in if she's going to make it. Amen. Well, as we keep traveling, I want to go, amen, to that upper Marlboro, Maryland, and see if there's a crazy man on the loose that pastors the power to stand. Outreach Ministries. Is that Bishop Elect Ernest Richard on the line? All right. After that great introduction, is silent. Unless you're on mute again. Amen. Let us go down Peachtree State. Amen. Once again. And let's see from the prophetic be mentioned. Is that Apostle Irvin Whitlow with us tonight? All right. It's silent in Georgia two times. And it's silent in Upper Marlboro. So, Dr. Kimmy Kim, it looks like it's me and you. Hallelujah. I guess we're on a Holy Ghost date tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I'm trying to remember, amen, the scripture from last week.
475 online as well. The number that begins with 475.
Okay. I want to check and see if my brother, my friend up here, Pastor Roger Wilkins, are you present? All right. Silent in New Haven. All right. 475 number, a Connecticut number. Make yourself known. Take yourself off of mute and make yourself known unto us.
This is Charles, Apostle.
All right, Deacon Charles. Praise God for you tonight. Can we give God's name the glory? Well, the three of us are here. Amen. I tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to move from our regularly scheduled program tonight, and we're going to go to the second chapter of Matthew and the second chapter of the book of Luke. I'm going to be dealing with those two scriptures tonight, and we shall discuss as we go. Hey, man, I'm going to get into a little bit of our story of our Lord and Savior as he came into the world. Amen. Let us have prayer. Amen. By our Dr. Kimmy Kim, give us a word of prayer, and then we're going into the scripture.
Father God, thank you once again for another good day. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, Father God. Thank you for just giving us this wonderful podcast, The Voice, hosted by Apostle Smith. I just love how he teaches. He puts his heart and his passion into teaching us what is expected of us and how we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. So, Father God, whatever you do, continue on blessing his ministry and others, and I thank you for him, Father God. Thank you for the reason for the season, which is Jesus Christ. I am so grateful that you send your son that we can be redeemed and have a relationship with you, Father God. We thank you so much for Jesus. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. Where can I go without him? Nowhere. So, Father God, continue on giving us the word, and we pray for those who don't know you, touch them in a mighty way, so they can know that purpose living first begins with you. And we will continue on giving you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Now I'm going to begin this. Amen. On tonight, I will give you our subject after I try to quote or try to give it to you without reading our text for tonight. In Luke, the second chapter, tells us, I believe it's Luke 2 and 16, but don't hold me to that. It might be a little further, a little before. But in the book of Luke, chapter 2, it tells us that shepherds were in the field, minding their sheep or tending to their sheep. And there appeared unto them an angel. And the angel began to tell them that the Christ child had been born and that they need to find their way to see the Christ child in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He said, follow the star, and you will find him. And then Matthew chapter 2 tells us that there were wise men, And the Bible said they also had an encounter with the angels. And the angel told them to go and see the child at such and such a house, and to go there and worship this child. The Bible also tells us that when they got to the house, they gave unto him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Tonight, I want to talk from the thought, is it a present or is it present? Is it a present or is it present? P-R-E-S-E-N-G. Is it present or is it present? Now, we want to start our conversation tonight out of the book of Luke. It says that these shepherds, I think everybody online know what a shepherd is. And if we have Facebook or Spreaker or TikTok or anything going tonight, amen, let us see. Somebody tell the people what a shepherd is. I know everybody can't be asleep.
When I think about the word shepherd, it brings to me a person who is tending to something. A shepherd is someone who protects and he covers and he is guiding you to the best that is, you know, for you. He protects you. He teaches you. He shows you the ropes and the way. A shepherd is a person, you know, who shows love and compassion, but will definitely correct you when you're wrong. And he wants to make sure that all of his sheep are doing well, not just the majority. And he has compassion and care. Yeah. So
okay.
That is what I would say.
What is a shepherd to you? Deacon Seth, what is a shepherd to you?
Well?
Yeah.
Well, when you think about sheep, they're gentle and they're nonviolent, and so a shepherd watches over the sheep. So when we think about that, I think about a pastor, a bishop, an apostle over the church. And they have they're the shepherd, and they have their sheep, and they help them fight spiritual warfare because they build them up so that they can fight spiritual warfare because when we come in, we're weak, and we don't understand. But y'all help us to grow in spiritual so that we can fight spiritual warfare. So a shepherd definitely protects the sheep.
All right. And so y'all have heard tonight both the natural and spiritual meaning of shepherd. In this text, we see the natural side. These men were shepherds over sheep, the animal sheep. Not the euphemism of sheep, but they were actually shepherds over the animal sheep. And the Bible says that they were watching over them. I want to say this tonight. Are we so busy with that we do that we're not aware that Jesus is even in the world? Are we so busy with our things that we have not taken notice that Jesus is even around? Or have we not taken notice that Jesus, amen, is where he's supposed to be, in the manger? Do we even know that Jesus is around? The shepherds were so busy tending the sheep that they didn't know what was happening around them. Now, let me ask the question. How busy do we get and not recognize that Jesus is even in the world? Somebody talk to me. Somebody have something to say?
Oh, yeah. What was that, Apostle? What was the question?
I said, can we be so busy that we not even realize that Jesus is in the works?
Absolutely. It happens all the time because a lot of people are more so concerned about, you know, their name and gaining prosperity to the point where their ministry becomes more of a money-making machine instead of a soul-making machine. And so, yes, I really believe that some people can forget the true meaning of why we have the true meaning to stay focused on Jesus. And another thing, it could be pride. Once you have that pride and it's all about you, God can't see you. It's impossible to grow in a prideful body. It really is.
All right. Think yourselves, were the shepherds right or wrong that they were tending the sheep and didn't know Jesus was around? Were they right or wrong by what they were doing?
No. They was doing their job, tending the sheep. That was their job. And they didn't realize that Christ was coming on the scene.
So they were so...
Okay, they was wrong.
They were so into the sheep that they didn't even know Jesus was on the scene.
Yeah, they was wrong.
Boy, that's bad. That's bad. I want to tell every Christian tonight that when you get so busy that you can't sense the presence of God and don't know that God is around, you're too busy in the wrong thing.
Amen.
You're moving and doing something that brings no glory unto the Lord. You may say, I'm doing the work of God. But if Jesus is not in your doing, does it really bring glory to God? Is it really?
No, it doesn't.
Is it really something that you can say, God is in this with me? Or is it something that we're just doing and trying to get brownie points with somebody that is not even God?
Come on. Amen. Now. Now you're into one business.
Amen.
Now. And we do have my friend, my BFF, Chanel, on. You're talking now because we do have those. You know, I visit Bames, and it says that if you treat someone who are wealthy better than someone who is poor, you are not of God. And you shouldn't treat someone differently based on your social status. And sometimes we do see that in the church. And so when that happens, their mind is definitely not on Jesus, because Jesus, he ministered to the broken spirit. So, yeah, you do have a lot of that.
Well, Sister Nell, I don't know how long you've been on, but what have you heard so far? Are you on mute? Sister Nell, you on?
Hello?
What have you heard so far before I ask you a question?
Oh, I just heard the last part that you, the question that you just posed.
Well, that's good. That's good. Because that's about as far as we've gotten. So you're right in with us. In your opinion, were the shepherds right or wrong for tending to the sheep and not having a sense that Jesus was in the world?
I would say, yes, they were wrong. Because just like Kimmy said, they were too busy. So if you're too busy, if you're tending the sheep like you're supposed to for God, how would you not know that he's in the works? Because you're doing what he asks you to do. But if you don't know that he's there, Are you really doing what he asks you to do?
All right, you got more, or that was it? Okay. So I want to say something that's going to sound a little boggling, but it's not a boggle. It's true, and I'm going to show you why. They were wrong and right simultaneously.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to show you why. And Deacon Zub brought it out, but he didn't take it as far as I thought he would get ready to go. They were right because their job was to be shepherds. For them to be watching sheep was not wrong. It was not out of order. It was not a sin. That was their daily occupation. But when Jesus came on the scene and they didn't have no spiritual connection in themselves, now watch me now, they didn't have no spiritual connection within themselves, sensing that something different is in the air. Now, that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
As much as they knew how to shepherd and watch them sheep, they should have been just as sensitive in the spirit to know that the Savior had been born. Can anybody agree, disagree? Y'all got to stay off of mute now because we got to be able to talk. Does anybody agree or disagree that they were right and wrong at the same time?
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Now, for all of you that are book smart, all of you that are trying to be professors over the lesson, I want to say to you, even in your Christian walk, there are times that you are right and wrong at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what to do, but you do not sense the presence of God in your doing. It makes you wrong on one side, right on the other side. Because if that's your occupation, if that's your job is at the church, to walk with a sense of knowing when Jesus is right around you. So,
amen.
So it goes on to say, watch this now. It says that an angel appeared. Is there anybody on the line that believe in angels?
Amen.
Absolutely. Yes,
if it wasn't for an angel, I wouldn't be here. I got many angels. Absolutely. He says he has angels watching over us all night. That song, Angels Be Watching Over Me? Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes I think those are the angels, you know, of your family members, too. Because I dream about them, you know, the people that I miss. They tend to appear in my dreams. And sometimes they could be your angel. I don't know. God didn't tell us everything. So some things are a mystery. So I know that there are angels out there for sure. I believe in those.
No, we know they're angels there because it's in the Bible. He said the angels will, he will have his angels to encamp around you.
Did you what? Your protection. Can I have the angels to do what?
To encamp around you to
oh, you need to stop.
You
making up
by
stuff now.
Side.
You need to stop
no.
that. They're going to encamp around. You mean to tell me they're actually going to surround us?
Yes. That's what it says in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So is that at times or all the time? Is somebody going to answer that? Do we have angels around us all the time?
All day, all night, every day, every hour.
So if there are angels around us all the time, everywhere, then why are we trying to handle things?
Mm-hmm.
It's called. Well, I cannot answer that because I used to be that. It's because we don't have total trust in God. So it's a growing in grace process. It takes a minute to get to a place where you can truly say, I trust God. And I'm going to be honest, I have not arrived. There are times I still may put things into my own hands, but not how I used to. You know how sometimes you think that God has you doing this, but it's not really from God, but it's because you want those things. So, but I can truly say that I have definitely come a long way. There are times I used to want to be a proper fixer, but I can't do that. I can't do it.
I like something to say. You said you have to grow in grace to that level. Somebody talk to me. How do you grow into that heavenly realm where you get a visitation from heaven? Somebody talk to me.
Well, you pray, you fast, and you communicate with God. You read his Bible, but you not only read his Bible, you accept that the things in his Bible are true.
Okay. So you said pray, fast, and really get close to God. Did you tell us what you say?
I agree with her.
Okay, you're in agreement. All right.
Yep.
But do you have anything you want to add to it, or was that a good answer?
Well, it's a good answer, but also we have to have reverence for the Lord, fear him.
Ooh, now you done went somewhere else because that is an art that is missing amongst people today. I'm not even going to say just Christians. People are missing the reverence of God in this day and hour, and that's why we got some of everything going on. And everybody calling themselves born again and don't even know Jesus. How are you born again and have no relationship with Jesus? So, I agree that the reverence, that reverence, that reverence of I must show myself holy and righteous and walk in the right way before my holy God. And so it is true. It is true. And I thank you, Sister Kim and Kim, for saying we got to grow in grace and reverence. Oh, and I'm going to get into that in a few more minutes. I'm glad you bounced the ball my way, because I'm going to get into that in a little while. Amen. Now let's go a little further. So an angel appeared.
Mm-hmm.
When, I want y'all to grab hope to this. Whenever an angel appears from heaven, there is some pertinent information that's getting ready to come to you from heaven. Angels do not show up just to show up so you can say, I saw an angel.
Mm-hmm.
When an angel shows up to you, there is an assignment in his mouth, in his wings, or something for you. And if you're not in tune, you will miss the angel and the instructions that you need. Isn't it a good thing that even though they were watching their sheep, when the angel appeared, they immediately took attention to the angel?
Amen. That is amazing, because they're teaching us that angels are from God. And we must, I mean, for angels to protect us day and night from seen and unseen danger, there are things that we don't see that we were protected from. And God knew if we saw those things, we could handle it. So there are times he allowed us to be protected over things that we don't see based on our level of maturity. So angels are definitely important, because this world, you know, is a spiritual warfare out here. It's not based on the flesh. Every day that we wake up, we are fighting against spirits of wickedness. So we can't see the spirits like the angels can. And that's why we need angels, so they can fight on our behalf, because God is the spirit. Yeah.
Okay, I want to ask this. How many on this line have had an experience or an encounter with an angel? And you know.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I agree. Yes.
Well, who's going to tell their story, though? I want to hear a story about your encounter with an angel.
Okay. I could tell mine.
My angel encounter was one time. I remember
Deacon Stubbs is already talking. I'm going to get yours, though. I'm going to get yours.
When I was a kid, growing up in North Carolina, I might have been about 8 or 7, somewhere around there. My grandmother, she was working on a cucumber picker, and she sent me to the house to get her tobacco or snuff, whatever that was. And I went and got it, and being a kid, you know, I said, well, I'm going to try this. And I put some in my mouth and took it to her and said, I don't feel good. I got hard breathing. She said, go and lay down. And I got to the porch, and I collapsed. And there was this bright lady came to me, and she says, your time is not yet, for the Lord has something for you to do. Now sleep and rest. That was my encounter.
Sister Kim and Kim, go ahead and tell your story. Kimmy, what happened to her?
I'm so sorry. Well, my encounter came about when I was coming from church in Atlanta. And, you know, Atlanta, we don't do well with the snow. So it was a Wednesday night. I was on Highway 20. And we were in snow. And as I was approaching 20, going towards my apartment, there was a car that did a 360. He barely missed me. Had he gotten to me, I would have been dead. And I was coming from church. I know that was God protecting me. And the same incident happened like a couple years ago where someone was driving the wrong way. And had I been on my phone like the young people, I would have been gone. So what I'm trying to say is sometimes he also gives us signs and wonders to say, hey, slow down. Or he may say, you know, send those signs to say, I'm protecting you, but this is a sign to let you know that you have more work to do. So I know that was an angel for me on those ends. And, of course, my cancer, I know that was an angel helping me through my chemo. Because that chemo really put me, oh, that was the worst feeling ever. But actually, it wasn't the worst trial, because my identity was my worst trial. But going through that chemo, I felt like giving up because it was so painful. But because of praying family and friends, I was able to, you know, allow God to continue on giving me the strength, because it's really more mental than anything when you're going through the chemo. And so that is another way I can say that it was definitely God sending his angels to protect me, because angels, oh my goodness, they are so amazing. I love my angels. I know sometimes they get tired of me, though. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chanel, do you have a story for us?
I have a couple, but the one that it's two that really resonates with me. The first one was I used to work at night, and I would have to drive home in the morning, and so sometimes I had started to just barely make it home and literally fall asleep. So one morning I was literally at the red light. I had just came off of the interstate, and I knew I did that, and I got to the stop sign. And the next 10 minutes of whatever I did, I fell asleep. I somehow did a U-turn, and I went back across the highway onto the other side of the interstate. And I do not know how I got there. All I know that I was turned around. I was not hurt.
Amen.
That was
nothing but the angel.
Amen.
Nothing but the angel. I mean, I couldn't do anything but shout praise the Lord, because I knew I was on one side, and then when I woke up, when I didn't even realize I had went to sleep, I was on the other side, coming back over. So I did a U-turn 360. Somehow I got, on Old National, which was, that was my angel.
Yes, it was.
Amen.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, one day, me and my daughter was at the church, and she came in all excited and everything. I said, what messenger or something. So I went outside. My sight was better then. I went outside trying to see who was out there, who was messing with her. She said, "No, Daddy, you don't understand." She said, "I was just sitting out here because it was the summertime." She said, "I sat down for a minute." And she said, "A gentleman came up and began talking with me about Jesus and was I doing his will. And, he told me, be encouraged and go ahead and do God's will. And God's going to use me greatly and all of this." She said, "I stuck my head in the church and turned back around." She said, "It wasn't even 2 minutes." She said, "I couldn't find him nowhere." She said, "He wasn't in the parking lot. I didn't see him walking down the street." She said, "I went through the corner. He wasn't walking down the side street." She said, "He's nowhere to be found." She said, "I think I just had an encounter with an angel." I said, "That's what it sounds like." And then I was a youngster then. I was probably about 12, 13 years old, maybe 14. But two angels came down from the sky with a chair in the middle of them. And one of the preachers from our church at that time was in the middle seat. And I didn't know what it was. Then I had to ask the Lord, I said, "What is this?" Because the two angels were sort of like arguing back and forward to each other. But they had this lady sitting in the seat. The Lord said, "Don't be startled." He said, "But these are two lawyer angels. They're discussing the fate of the woman in the seat. And the Lord said, if she don't repent, she's going to die old and by herself. She's not going to be sick. She's not going to be hurt. Nothing. Said, but because she's done some bitter pain, he said, if she don't repent, she will die old and bitter, and I will take her out." Sure enough, she died old and bitter. And at that time, even her children would not come to see her. I'm telling you, angels come to give you information. They appear with an assignment, with a word, with whatever God told them to do. That's why they show up to us. And so we personally know whether if we seen them or whether God did something fantastic in our life, like the highway or whatever it is, we know that angels are real. Now, only an angel could have brought Deacon Stubbs back from that moment, and really what we're not catching, at that moment, Deacon Stubbs was dying. That's how strong that mess is they call snuff. When you're a little child and stick that in your mouth, if you have any kind of condition, it can take you out quick. That's how strong it is. It can take you out quick. But the angel appeared and told him, "Your time is not now. You got work to do." what a mighty God we serve. Now the angel told him, "There is one born in Bethlehem. The one that we've been waiting on." I'm paraphrasing. "The one that we've been waiting on and you've been waiting on." Watch this now. I want you to keep this phrase in mind. "Go and see in a manger. I want you to keep that phrase in mind. Go and see. I want you to hold that phrase. So let's go over to Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, he tells the wise men to go see the child at the house where they stay. And when he tells the wise, when he tells the wise men to go, they also took gifts with them. I want to straighten that out today. No shepherds took gifts to Jesus. That's the picture they try to paint. That's the story that's been told. But the Bible says the wise men took gifts, not the shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
He told the shepherds to go and see the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch this now. But he told the wise men to go see the child. Now what's the difference between a babe and a child? Come on, y'all, talk to me now.
Okay. So this is Chanel. So what you're saying is he told the wise men to go see the child. And he told the shepherds
so
to go see the baby. The difference is that the shepherds saw Jesus when he was a baby, when he was born in the manger. By the time the wise men got there, he was a child. So that means he was not a baby. So he was about two or three or four even, when they had arrived.
You are right. You are definitely right. Now, the shepherds went to see a babe, but the wise men were led to him as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between the babe and the child is Jesus had grew up. Jesus had started to grow and was on his journey to becoming our Lord and Savior. He was not a baby in a manger. He was not a man on the cross, but he definitely was growing up. Lord have mercy. He was growing up to become. And the real deal is why some of us can't be wise men. We're still looking for a babe, and he's a child now.
He done grew up,
and we still looking for what was. Because that's what I hate.
Right.
Excuse me?
Was that you?
Oh, wow. You are so right about that. Because the shepherd saw him in the stable or barn in the manger, but the wise man saw him in the house.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And I will say this now, that Jesus growing up meant something. Watch this now. I believe it's chapter 2, verse. Somebody see if there's a verse 52 in chapter 2.
In Matthew?
Yeah.
No, there isn't.
Okay,
nope.
I'm at,
not in Matthew.
I can't think of what chapter now. But there is a verse that said Jesus grew up and has favor with man and with God.
That's in Isaiah, ain't it?
Huh?
Isn't that Isaiah?
No, there's a New Testament scripture in the book of Matthew that says Jesus grew up and he had favor with God and with me. I want you to know that him.
That's in Luke. That's in Luke 2:52.
Okay, read it.
Yeah, that's Luke. Yeah.
Read it. That's Luke. Want
yeah,
me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Get this right here. Come on.
See, we read a lot down. We read the word, but we don't study the word and really get the revelation of what God is trying to say to us. And so tonight, I'm trying to take the time to tell us there's more in this text than a so-called Christmas story. There's revelation in these texts tonight. And we'll get ready to hear what it's talking about when it said that he was a babe and then he was a child, which meant he grew up. What did the scripture say about it, Dee?
Luke chapter 2. I am trying to find my place here. Okay.
Okay, I found it.
You found
okay,
it?
Read it.
2:52.
2:52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God.
Don't read too fast now. And Jesus
okay.
did what?
And Jesus grew in wisdom
right
and stature.
Not right there. Now, is what I just said true? And Jesus grew. That what she just read. Is that Bible? Yes, because she just read it from the Bible. So Jesus was not just a babe and then became the Savior on a cross. He did some growing. And that's the problem with a lot of saints now. They just got saved, and next week they're prophets. Next week they're already apostles. You got to do some growing. So, and Jesus grew, and what else did it say?
And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature.
He grew up in wisdom and stature. That means he got some sense in his head and some know-how to do what he needed to do. Grew up in stature means his body began to take size. And what else happened?
And in favor with God and man.
He had favor in two places. He had favor in heaven and favor on the earth. And we all know what favor is. It's a divine blessing. It's a divine orchestration of God on our lives that take us and give us things that cannot be humanly done. All right? Now, it says that if this, he was a babe, grew up to a child. Now, it says that the wise men brought something with them. They brought gifts. They got gifts and brought them with them. What are gifts? What is a gift? And I'm not talking about laying on my hands or none of that. What is a gift? Somebody talk to.
Something that you give someone.
Something that you give someone. Okay, what you got to say, Kimmy Kim? Kim, are you on
mute? I'm sorry. I am on mute. I'm so sorry. What was the question?
What is a gift? And I'm not talking about prophesying and the laying on of hands. What is a gift?
A gift is something you don't earn. A gift is something that is given to you. And a gift is something that you can't take acknowledgement on. You can't say that I earned it or I worked for it. It's a gift. So.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
Chanel, what's your saying on a gift?
I would concur with what Kimmy said, that is something that is given freely from someone else to show their gratitude or their appreciation for something that someone has done or they have not done. They just want to show their appreciation or their love for that individual.
There I go right back. And I thought Kimmy Kim would have said that. That's her favorite word. A gift is something given that was not asked for, that a person gives in love without being asked, without being commanded. They give it because they have love. And so a lot of times, you don't even know that gift is coming to you. But it is given to you through love, just handed to you, just passed to you, because the love of God is being extended at that moment. All right? So they brought gifts and gave unto Jesus. What did we say the gifts were they gave to Jesus?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
All right, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All right, what in the world are they doing bringing a child gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Now, let me show you. Gold is unperishable. The more you burn gold, the more pure it comes. So they gave him an unperishable gift. Frankincense is an incense that costs a lot of money, and myrrh is a perfume or cologne that costs a lot of money. Why do y'all think they brought these three gifts unto Jesus?
Because they knew that he was the Messiah and he was the king.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say. That those are gifts that was fit for royalty. Those were gifts that was fit for royalty.
Fit for royalty. I want us to catch that tonight. They were not just bringing gifts to any old child. They brought gifts that went to a prince. And isn't he called the Prince of Peace?
Amen.
They brought gifts unto a prince, and they gave them, or should I say, they presented them unto royalty. And that's why we ought to treat each other like royalty and not like a bunch of paupers, not like a bunch of bums, not like a bunch of punks. We ought to treat each other in royalty. Did not the scripture say we are peculiar people? Or what? Royal.
Yes. That's the word.
Anybody, amen, years ago, when Diana and her husband came to America, the First Lady of America went to shake her hand, and her bodyguard jumped in between the handshake and said, "You don't touch royalty." Was he right? Was he wrong? He was doing his job. Even though they were here in America and our greeting is to shake hands, but in that country, you don't touch somebody that is of a royal state.
Mm-hmm.
And so are we royalty. So are we. You can't mess with us any kind of way. So when they went to see Jesus at the house, they came the right way. When the shepherds went to the barn, as it was said, or to see him in the manger, they didn't bring nothing but eyes. Let me say it again. I said when they went to the manger, they didn't bring nothing but eyes. They brought their eyeballs because they were commanded, go see the child or the babe lying in a manger. But while they went in obedience, it said when they looked on the babe lying in the manger, said heavenly angels showed up and started singing, glory to God in the highest. Peace and goodwill to all mankind. Man, heaven showed up and they had a party in the barn. But when these men got you the house, they gave gold. They gave frankincense. They gave myrrh because they knew that a prince was in that house.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as the subject said tonight, do you have a present? Can you present? Watch this. The shepherds did what was told to them. The wise men did what was told to them. But because they were wise, they were also called magi, which meant they were the masters of the men of wisdom. So when they went to the house, they didn't go empty-handed. Did not the word of God tell us that when we come before the Lord at holy times, not to come empty-handed? We're going before a holy and righteous and royal God, and we got the nerve to come to church with nothing to give. No praise, no finance. We don't have no worship, but we just come. We just come dressed up, and that's all we do. We have nothing to give. And the Bible, from even when he was a little child, let the Magi know, don't go empty-handed. You get ready to go before a prince who shall become king. Take something with you. And man, if they didn't come with the best of that day. Now, I got to close this. I know my time is coming in. What kind of time we got, Sister Kimmy Kim?
You have 20 minutes, so take your time. You're fine.
Okay. Now watch this. The shepherds did what they were supposed to do. The Magi did what they were supposed to do. It's 2021. And nowadays we Christmas every December 25th. And we say it's Jesus' birthday. What have you picked up for him yet? Boy, did I got quiet. But I'm going to tell you what you can pick up. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Somebody read that for me. It ain't hard to pick this up. Read Romans chapter 12, verse 1.
Okay. And I'm going to it right now.
You can't find it in Macy's. You can't find it in Bloomingdale. You can't find it in Lord Taylor. You can't find it in Nordstrom. You can't find it on Fifth Avenue in Hollywood. You can't find it at the best in Beverly Hills. Why? Somebody read.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, on account of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship.
Now, wait a minute. It said do what? Did it just say give yourself to God?
Yes, it did.
Now, watch this. When you give something to somebody, it's a what? We call it a present. And in order to have that present, which is yourself, it says in the King James, you must present yourself as a present. Ooh, I better stop. I'm getting happy. In order to be able to give God something in this hour, you must take your present yourself and present yourself unto God. And don't think you're doing something big and wonderful. Instead, it's just a reasonable service. To give and turn yourself over to God. If you want to get a good gift this year, I'm telling you now, the gift you need to get is you. And give yourself as a present to God. And present yourself as a present to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I wish I could say something tonight. I ain't all that smart. I'm just trying to tell what I can tell. Is there anybody on the line tonight ready to be both a present and present yourself?
I do that on a daily basis. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the only way to do. Yeah.
Now, isn't it funny that both of those words are spelt with the same letters? A present and present are spelt with the same letters, said different ways, but they both have significant meaning to our lesson tonight, because if you're not willing to be a present, then you have nothing to give to God. He's not looking for a fur coat. He don't need no chain. He don't need no new cup. He don't need all the material things. He ain't looking for no Jaguar. He ain't looking for no Mercedes. He don't need a Tesla. He don't need a Rolls Royce. He's not looking for none of the material things that we can give, but can you give you?
Let's see.
I guess the song said it best. It said, give me you, everything else can wait.
Hallelujah.
Now, anybody heard the song besides me? I should have got an amen right there.
Amen. You got an amen over here.
Amen.
He said, just giving you everything else can wait. And if you be a present and present yourself, you have given the greatest gift that can be given for what we call Christmas or the Christ life.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So what I'm saying to us tonight is that the shepherds went to see, but there was a great praise. And you should have a great praise to give unto God. He's been so good. He's been so kind. He kept you from so many things. You ought to want to present yourself as a present. And say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I give you glory. I worship your name.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And then, because he saved us, because he turned us around, because he made a way out of no way, we ought to want to give ourselves unto God.
Hallelujah.
And do a great thing in our lives. So to everyone online, everybody on show, social media, everybody that will hear a replay, wrap yourself up and give yourself to God.
I like that.
Wrap yourself. Put a bow on yourself. Put a name tag on yourself. And then present your present to God, which is you. You can't do no better. You won't be able to give him no better. Just be willing to give yourself to the Lord. Just be willing to be a present and present yourself to the Lord. Anybody have closing remarks? And then we're going to close. We're going to have prayer and close out tonight. Is there anybody want to say anything?
I just want to say that this was definitely a great discussion around this time so people can understand the true meaning of this season, because I tend to see people who go broke. They go out of their way to get the presents of people. But the biggest present that you can ever get is salvation, and it's free. And you can only get it through Jesus. And so with that being said, you must present yourself holy. And it's a growing grace process. I'm still learning, but it took me a minute to get here, and God is still working with me. And one thing I have come to realize about people who are young in the body of Christ, they think that you have to be perfect or you have to get yourself together. But I'm telling you, family, if you don't know God, just submit yourself over to him and he will fix you up, because you cannot get yourself together. And so that is the true reason for the season. And yes, you have those who say that Jesus wasn't born around this time, but he was born, and that is the point. And so with that being said, Jesus, he is an amazing, amazing person, and he is real. I can't contest. I used to be the one who didn't think that this was real, you know. So I want to just, you know, confirm. I agree with everything that you said, Apostle Smith, and I thank you so much for this wonderful discussion on angels, on the birth of Jesus, more in detail, and just knowing that Jesus grew in favor. I mean, it's still kind of interesting how Jesus was with God in Genesis, but he came down on earth and he grew up like a baby. So that is how powerful our God is. He can do anything that he wants to. So that is what I would say.
You have a closing remark?
And my closing remark is,
I love this discussion. We must continue on.
All right, is this Chanel? You have a closing remark?
Well, I want to agree with what Kimmy just said. I do agree with her that so many people have gotten away from what the holidays is meant for, what Jesus' birth meant. It's not about presents. The only present that is about is us, as you say, giving ourselves to God as living sacrifices on a daily basis. That is my closing remark.
All right, Deacon Sal, you have anything you want to close with? Is he still with us?
He's on mute.
Okay.
I appreciate the fact that you brought out about how the three wise men bought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and the shepherd, they came to see Jesus, but they didn't bring gifts. Where the Mongols was looking for the return of Jesus, and they was prepared to bring gifts. Where the shepherd was not prepared, was not looking for the return of Jesus, and they was not prepared to bring gifts to him.
Oh.
And so we must prepare ourselves for, we must be looking for Jesus and prepare ourselves for Jesus. Those are my closing remarks.
All right. My closing remarks is going to be this. Stop going out, spending all your time shopping, and putting yourself in debt. Give yourself to Jesus. You're the best present that you can present to Jesus any year. Every year and any time, give yourself to this royal man of God who is now our Lord and Savior. And he can and he will receive your gift with joy. Amen. I want to make two quick points. And then I must get off the air. What happened to the Christmas service? We used to get up on Christmas, go to church, not open up gifts. My mother and father used to tell me, get away from that tree. You can open them up when we get back from church. We went to church, had about an hour and a half service, and my father released everybody to go home and be with their family. A lot of churches don't have Christmas service no more. Let's get back to it. We don't get together and worship God on Christmas anymore. If you don't do nothing else, get together at your house, at the church, or some designated place, have and let the Lord know we came to present ourselves as a present on what we call your birthday. The Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. Amen. I thank God for Dr. Kim Robinson, known aka Kimmy Kim. Thank God for Sister Chanel. Thank God for Deacon Suggs. Amen. And all those who are not in on the broadcast tonight, we pray that God bless and keep them in whatever they're doing. Amen. We give God the praise. And as I often say, if you're catching hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Just go ahead. Go ahead. You go ahead. God got something better in store for you. The Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer. Amen. Give it, Kim. Let it rock. Let it roll. Let it bless your soul.
Amen.